Good morning, Crossville Church, and welcome. We were running low on Jack, so I got pulled up here. Hey, so this week's announcements, and this is, I'll just cover the things that are not already in your bulletin, and please be a good reader and look there as well. But tonight, we'll have choir practice at 5 p.m. right here on this stage. And then we have our small groups at their regular scheduled locations. This Wednesday night at 6 p.m., NYI is responsible for the Super Summer Something meal, and it is nachos plus, taco meat, and other items. Please sign up in the foyer so we know how much food to have. We also have Bread of Life coming up on Saturday the 3rd, and we can use help preparing for that. It's at Bread of Life on 4th Avenue, or 4th Street, rather. And it's from 4:30 to 6, and I asked, was that a.m.? And Karen says, no, that is p.m. You're the only person that's up at that time. But what we need more than bodies is food. And please take a look in the foyer at what is needed, and please bring those items to the church. As you can see, driving up 127, the 127 yard sale, you know, going to cover six states, passes right through here, which means that we are going to have our yard sale this week. Our yard sale is the 1st to the 3rd, and you can bring items, donate them to the church to be sold to help with the youth. We also have an option that you can have some floor space, and all we ask is that you have a donation to support the youth. But all donations that you're going to drop off, please have them here by Tuesday. Okay, and I was thinking about our offering, I don't know when in the church history we started passing plates, but way back in the Bible time when they were rebuilding the temple, and even Christ talking about the widow and the two mites, there was an offering box. Well, we have two of them. We have one on this side, one on that side of the room. So if you want to put your offering there, we thank you for your tithes and your offerings, and we just ask that you be here to be blessed today. Be ready to hear some, participate in worship of our Heavenly Father, and hear the word that God has prepared for us. Thank you.
to see all of you in the service this morning. We're glad that you're here and glad to have those of you who are guests with us today. We are so happy to have you. We believe that today is a glorious day because Jesus is here first and foremost, and because you are here. Let's stand together as we worship the Lord.
Love.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity that we have to be here this morning. We have nothing to boast about except what Jesus has done in us and through us and for us. We have nothing that we can do except what Jesus does in us, through us. And we thank you, God, this morning that we have this opportunity to come together as your people. We know, Lord, that you are here because your people have gathered here this morning. And we know, Lord, this morning that you want to do something in us, Lord, that will change us forever. We didn't come to this place this morning just hoping that you would show up. We came to this place this morning believing, God, that you were going to be here to minister to your people, to strengthen us, to help us, Lord, to convict us where we need to be convicted, but also, Lord, to show your compassion and your love. And let us know, Lord, that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, we're grateful this morning that we can come to you in this time. I ask you, God, that you would bless these who are kneeling here this morning. You know the needs. I'm so thankful, Lord, that this place is not a place of disgrace, but it's a place in which we can find your grace added to us. And so, Lord, this morning, we believe you're helping them just as you're touching and helping others in this congregation today. We need you. We need you to move in our hearts and lives. And so we ask you for that today. I pray, Father, for those of our congregation who need your physical touch. Thank you that you are the great physician, that you touch and heal bodies. And so, Lord, today we believe you that you're going to touch, that you're going to help, that you're going to heal. And so we give you glory and honor and praise for that today. I pray, Father, that in just a few moments as we look into your word together, that you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would move on our hearts and lives and that you would help us in this time that we have together today. We love you, we praise you, we give you glory for what you are doing and for what you're going to do. And we pray and ask these things in the blessed name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. You may. I walked out of Sunday school, out of my office into the Sunday school area there, and Jack happened to be sitting there at the end of the table. And so I said, hey, you can do the announcements today. For those of you who don't understand the joke that was at the front when everybody was talking, we have Jack, who is our congregational care pastor. We have Jack, who is our associate, and I'm not Jack. But that was Jack that was up here. So now you understand why the congregation was laughing about that. But what we need to do is find a guy named Jack that can lead the worship, and maybe we would take all that under consideration. I miss Pastor Tyler, I'm telling you, at times, because of him leading the worship. But anyway, this morning I want to speak to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to begin with verse 23 and look down through verse 31. I'm going to talk about what is the meaning. What is the meaning of this? The Apostle Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Isn't it amazing that from time to time you come into contact with people that they have all kinds of different ideas about the church? It's amazing to me how many people really have this idea that they don't need the church. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that you do need the church. As Reuben Welch said many years ago, we do need each other. We need each other in more ways than we can understand. I had someone tell me just this morning how much they appreciated the people of the congregation praying for them. And all I could think of is we really do need each other. This is a family. The men had breakfast yesterday morning. I was at NYI convention, but Eugene stepped up yesterday, and I was told that he talked about the fact that we are family, and we praise the Lord that we are a family. But every now and then, I do come in contact with those who say that they love Jesus, but yet they don't want to be a part of the church. I'm reminded that we're told by the Word of God, and really by Jesus Himself, He says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And one of those commandments ultimately is, you find it in the book of Hebrews, that we shouldn't give up meeting together as the manner of some is, but all the more. And then He adds this and so much more as you see that day approaching. And I believe we are seeing a day approach. Amen. I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know how, but I do believe Jesus is one day returning. We're going to talk about that in just a few moments. But if you go to verses 24 and verse 25 of the passage that I just read to you, you're going to find out that Jesus says, do this. In other words, Jesus expects every one of us to observe this supper. We have the same passage. Luke gives it to us verbatim in Luke chapter 22, verse 19. So you see, this is not something that is optional. It really is a direct command from our Lord Jesus Christ. It's fun to talk to kids about this, though, because kids have all kinds of questions. And I've had kids before ask me, say, Pastor, what's the supper all about? It's not like a normal supper. Well, no, it's not. It really isn't. And so, with four words today, for the past few weeks, we've had sermons with a couple of points, so I'm making up for it today. So y'all just smile and be happy. How about that? So with four words today, I'm going to attempt to tell you what is the meaning of what we will be doing together at the end of the service. The first thing that I want you to notice is that the Lord's Supper is an expression. The Lord's Supper is an expression. Verse 24 it says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Today, we come together and we're expressing our love for Jesus. But it's also an expression of Jesus' love for us. We're basically saying, Jesus, we love you and we remember what you did for us. I was born and raised in Texas. I'm a true Texan. You can tell a Texan, you can't tell him much, but you can tell one. I remember growing up and grew up around Houston, and down around Houston, it's what we call the San Jacinto Monument. They pronounce it different there, but we always called it the San Jacinto Monument. And the battle cry there at the San Jacinto Monument was, remember the Alamo. As you move on into the early 1900s, basically after what happened at Pearl Harbor, it was, remember Pearl Harbor. For us, in this day and age, I suppose our rallying cry is, remember 9/11. But at the Lord's table today, it's not a battle cry, but it is a reminder that we do need to remember Him. We do need to remember what He did. We do need to remember the expression of love. We're to remember the high cost of our salvation. Though it's free to every person, it cost Jesus dearly. It cost His body. It cost His blood. He paid for it with His very life. If you go to Psalm 34, verse 20, it says that no bones would be broken. And we read and we know that the soldiers came along and they broke the legs of the two criminals that were on each side, but they didn't do that. But Jesus says to those disciples as He is there in that upper room, and as the Apostle Paul repeats to us, this is my body which is broken for you. A body that was broken in many ways. A body that was broken on the back with a whip. A body that was broken with a crown of thorns that were placed on His head. We're to remember the beard that was ripped from His cheeks. We're to remember his hands and his feet that were pierced. His side was broken as they thrust the spear into it. So you see, when Jesus says, "This is my body which is broken for you," it really was. It was broken for you and for me. So there is an expression here of what Jesus was doing and what Jesus has done and what Jesus continues to do. But not only is this a time of expression, but it is also a time of explanation. The Apostle Paul says there in verse 26, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Some translations there say you show forth the Lord's death. The NIV here uses the word proclaim. Either way, the Apostle Paul is saying to us that every time that we gather here at the Lord's table, basically we're preaching a sermon. We're preaching a sermon that Christ is the Savior of the world through his death on the cross. Several years ago, I preached a series of messages from the Old Testament entitled, "What Do These Stones Mean?" But when the children of Israel were commanded to put stones there at the Jordan so that they would be reminded of what God had done for them, it was an explanation to their children, a reminder to their children. Please understand something this morning. This, for us, is a stone of remembrance. It's a time in which we remember exactly what the Lord did. And it is a time that we can explain to those who are around us. We are proclaiming the Lord's death. Some people may not understand. Some people may not get it. Some people may have an idea that is far from what we believe and what we would teach as far as what this is, what is happening here this morning. But please understand, it is a time of explanation. A physical demonstration of our belief in what Jesus did, that he died, that he rose again, and that he one day is coming for us. It is a time of expression. It's a time of explanation. You go on down in verse 26, and I've already mentioned it, but basically this is also a time of expectation. A time of expectation, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Until he comes. We come to this table, we're testifying that we do believe that one day we will be caught up together in the air by the Lord. The Christ that was born in Bethlehem, the Christ who was crucified on the cross, the Christ who arose from the dead, the Christ who we fellowship with today is the coming King that one day will come and take his people to be with him. But as we come to this table, we can be, I think, joyous in the fact that even though we do live in a troubled world, one day Jesus will come for us. Now, I want to say something about that. We have this idea that Jesus is going to come for us and we can just kind of sit on the sidelines and wait for him. That's not the case, folks. We are not called to sit on the sidelines. We are called to be active in what is going on. We just don't look and say, "Well, you know, Jesus is going to come and rescue us out of all of this mess." No. I firmly believe, and you can be wrong if you want to disagree with me. That was supposed to be funny. We've got to be active. We can't be passive in this thing. We've got to be active in the proclamation of the gospel to the people who are around us. You don't even have to use words. You just have to live it out. You just have to live it out. But as we come to this table this morning, we can be joyous in knowing that one day Jesus is going to come for us. He may come for us when he splits the eastern sky and every person on the face of the earth will see him. Or we can be joyous in knowing that as we live, one day he will come and tap us on the shoulder and say, "Child, it's time." Whichever way he chooses to do that, we need to be joyous and we need to be active in the kingdom of God. When I was a kid, we lived down in Pasadena, Texas. And my dad, who loved to fish, I've told you that before, we would go out to Galveston to fish. And in order to get from where we lived and out to Galveston, you had to take a ferry boat and go out there to the island that was there. And we would do that every time. Well, it was always a fun trip for me because I enjoyed being able to get out of the car and watch as we crossed that body of water until one day. And as I was going across that body of water that day, as just a young kid, I remember a storm coming up. I remember the clouds being black. I remember the winds blowing. I remember the rain as it was coming down. I remember that like it was yesterday because I'm not much on storms. And so there we were. We were out in the middle of this thing on a big boat with a lot of other people. Things were not pleasant. And when we finally reached the other side, I'm going to tell you, there was not a kid on that boat any happier than I was. One of these days, there's not going to be a kid in this room happier than I am to reach the other side. But until then, we've got to be proclaiming. Until then, we've got to be living as though Jesus has done something in our hearts and in our lives that has changed us and has transformed us and has made us different from the rest of the world. You see, one day, when we make it to the other side, there won't be the storms. But until then, you and I need to live in expectation. Tommy Bristow was a fellow by the name, was a guy in the church in Huffman where I pastored. I never remember Tommy coming into church. I never remember meeting Tommy at a grocery store or wherever we might have been. I never remember meeting him, but what he didn't remind me, and Susie will tell you this is the truth, I never remember a time that I didn't meet him that he did not remind me of the fact that Jesus could come that day. He lived in that expectation. We need to live in that expectation because Jesus is coming. But finally, I want you to see this. You find this in verse 28, that the Lord's Supper is a time not only of expression and explanation and expectation, but the Lord's Supper is also a time of examination. Everyone, Paul says, ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. I've had people across the years say, well, Pastor, please understand, I don't partake of the Lord's Supper because I'm not worthy. And I would say, yeah, you're right. You are right. None of us are worthy. The only reason that any of us are worthy is because of what Jesus did. In fact, Jesus is the only one that is worthy, according to Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. That's not what the Apostle Paul is actually saying here. What Paul is saying is that before we come to this time around this table, we need to examine ourselves. If we've never asked Jesus into our heart and life, it's a wonderful time because we do believe in the Church of the Nazarene that it is a means of grace. It's a wonderful time in order for us to examine ourselves and see if there's anything in our hearts and lives that should not be there. If we've never been saved, it's a wonderful time to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I want to live for you. I want to be all that you want me to do. And come forward and receive the cup and the bread. What a wonderful thing it is to think that at this time, when we remember the Lord's death, that someone can accept Christ as their Savior. You might say, Pastor, you don't know what kind of week I had. No, you don't know what kind of week I had. I'm smiling. You say, Pastor, you don't know what kind of week I've had. I failed. Can I tell you something? We've had those weeks. But I'm so thankful that the Word of God tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can come to Him in the quietness of the moment and just say, Lord Jesus, you know me. You know what kind of week I've had, Lord. You know, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, that I failed. And I promise you, if you come to Him with a heart that earnestly means that, He realizes that, and He forgives. You see, Paul is saying that we need to examine ourselves.
We need to examine ourselves. If there's anything, if there's an attitude that was wrong, if there was a something that we said to somebody, maybe we need to go to somebody. And I know that's going to take great courage. Maybe we need to go to somebody and say, listen, I want you to understand. I said something that I shouldn't have to you, and I'm sorry for that. Or maybe we ought to go to a person and say, listen, I've had a bad attitude about you. Boy, that would break it wide open, wouldn't it? You see, I think in the quietness of this moment, we ought to be open and honest with God because God knows anyway. We need to be discerning about ourselves, Paul says in verse 31. We need to examine our lives. We need to examine our hearts. We need to say, Lord Jesus, if there is anything in my heart and life that is displeasing to you, show it to me and I will do what I need to do. So that when I come to this table, there's no problem. There's no issue. We can come to His table. Conclusion. What we do here today is a time of expression. It's a time of explanation. It's a time of expectation. It's a time of examination. In some ways, I guess this supper is what we have left of our Lord. It's been passed down through the centuries. Today we will do what Christians across the centuries have done, gather around His table to be reminded of what He has done and to remember that He is coming again. But this is also a place in which we can come and remember that Jesus has commanded us and that we are to go forward from here to proclaim His death to the world. We learned a song just a few weeks ago, and we're going to sing it before we come to the Lord's table. Pastor Jack's going to come and help me here in just a moment. But I want us to sing a song that we learned just a few weeks. For some of you, you learned it just a few weeks ago. Let me put it that way. It's "Come Just As You Are." I believe God wants to do something in some hearts and lives today that they can come to Him. They can come to Him. They can receive Him as their Savior. And they can participate in this supper today, maybe in a way that they never have before. If you're here this morning and you know that there's something not right, I'm glad to tell you that before you leave here today, it can be right. It will be right if you'll simply trust Him. Stand with us as you're able. Let's sing this song and then we will participate in the Lord's Supper together.
Come just as you come just as you are.
Supper instituted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a sacrament which proclaims His life, His sufferings, His sacrificial death and His resurrection and the hope of His coming again. It shows forth the Lord's death until He comes. The supper is a means of grace in which Christ is present by the Spirit. It is to be received in reverent appreciation and gratefulness for the work of Christ. All those who are truly repentant, forsaking their sins and believing in Christ for salvation, are invited to participate in the death and the resurrection of Christ. We come to the table that we may be renewed in life and salvation and be made one by the Spirit. In unity with the church, we confess our faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will return again. On the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, gave it to His disciples, and said, "This is My body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Likewise, when the supper was over, He took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to His disciples and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of Me." And so we gather as the body of Christ to offer ourselves to God in praise and thanksgiving. As we come to this place, let us ask God to pour out His Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts. Let us ask that as we receive these emblems of His body and blood, that we may be united as the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood, called to take His message to our world. And so, Lord, this morning, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We in the Church of the Nazarene do not practice closed communion. As I've already read to you this morning, we believe that if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you can come forward and receive with us the emblems of His broken body and shed blood. And so if you're not a member, if you're a visitor here today, as long as you know Jesus is your personal Savior, we invite you to come and to be a part of this. I'm going to ask, we start over here and we'll make our way around. And then as you go to your seat, please hold the elements and we'll receive them all together here in just a few moments. Pastor Jack, would you come? The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. We rejoice, Lord, in Your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. And we're thankful, Lord, this morning that we can come together as a body of believers with Christians around the world today who celebrate with us the Savior who came, who lived, who died, who was resurrected and has ascended into heaven. The one who has saved us from our sins. The one who has given us new life and abundant life here and now, but also eternal life. We give you glory, honor, and praise this morning. And we rejoice that we can remember what you have done. But Lord, we can be thankful for what you are doing. And we can remember, Lord, that one day you will come. And you will receive us unto yourself, that where you are there, we may be also. And so, Lord, we give you praise, honor, and glory for that today. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you this morning. And we pray these things in the blessed name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. 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 God bless you. I'm so glad that you are here today. We're so glad to have those of you who are our guests with us today. Please come back. This is a great place to worship the Lord. Their pastor's just a little iffy at times, but it's a great place to worship the Lord. May God bless you. Remember all that's going on this afternoon. You are dismissed.